Peace to you, my friends. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, the feast when Jesus was made known to the entire world. Now I know some of you may be thinking, wait a second, didn't we just celebrate that last week at Christmas? Well, yes and no. Yes, we celebrated Christ's coming into the world on Christmas. But up until the Epiphany, the only people who knew about Jesus were the Jewish people. At the Annunciation, Mary, who was Jewish, was told that she would give birth to the Savior. Other members of Mary's family who were aware of Christ's presence, such as Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah, and John the Baptist, were also Jewish. And on Christmas, when the angels proclaimed glad tidings of great joy, they did so to Jewish shepherds. So up until the Epiphany, the only people to whom the incarnation of God had been made known were the Jewish people. Now I'm assuming that many of you are probably like me in that you have no Jewish roots. I'm part Indian and Italian, and so is my sister. In fact, if you're in this category of people who do not have any Jewish roots, then today's feast should have special meaning for you, as it marks the time when Jesus was made known to the people who were not Jewish, to the Gentiles. The term Gentile, of course, is the term used by the Jewish people to describe anyone who is not Jewish, similar to the way that the term Muggle is used by the wizards in Harry Potter to describe anyone who is not of magical descent. So Epiphany is important for those of us who are Gentiles. But it's also significant for those who are not Gentiles. So for those of you who do have Jewish roots, you still need to pay attention to this homily. It's important to you because it marks a special time in the history of salvation. It marks the time when one of God's promises to Israel would be fulfilled, the promise that all the nations would be gathered around the 12 tribes of Israel. It's the same promise referenced by Isaiah in the first reading, the promise to Israel that nations shall walk by your light and that all will gather and come to you. In today's gospel, we see this prophecy being fulfilled. We learn that a light, a star shining in the sky, leads the three magi to the light, namely Jesus Christ. These Gentiles come to Jesus and gather around him, who is the Savior not only for the Jewish people, but the one and only Savior for all people. And upon seeing him, they prostrate themselves and give him homage. And they present him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now these are three grown men coming before an infant. They recognize that this is no ordinary baby. There's something special about this baby, something that makes them fall to the ground and praise him. And then after they have praised him, they give him gifts. It's as if they're saying, everything we have is at your disposal. Everything we bring is for your glory. What a great model of Christianity that is. Upon seeing God present in the world, these three men bow, prostrate themselves, and give homage. And then they go one step further and put their gifts at his disposal. This is what I'd like to call the transforming power of today's gospel. You see, the gospel is not meant to affirm our lives, but to transform our lives. And certainly, the Magi are models of how the news of the newborn King of the Jews can change our lives. Our lives are first and foremost changed and transformed when we recognize who Jesus is. That is, he's not just an ordinary king. There's something special about this king, something that led the Magi out of their daily routines and on a difficult and gruesome journey towards Jerusalem and finally into Bethlehem. A journey that would surely make hassles such as sitting on an airport runway for 3 hours look rather comfortable by comparison. When we, like the Magi, recognize that Jesus is not an ordinary king, that he's not simply a good man or a prophet or a wise moral figure, but is indeed God incarnate, our lives are forever changed, and we embark on this difficult yet thrilling lifelong journey called Christianity. This journey for us who are Catholic leads us to the very presence of Jesus. Most notably, we encounter him who is truly present in the Eucharist. And like the Magi, we find ourselves in his presence and we prostrate ourselves and give him homage. So did you ever wonder why we kneel during the Eucharistic prayer? We're giving homage to Christ, who is truly present in the sacrament. It's not an artificial gesture that some people in Rome just decided to throw into our ritual. No, it's our response. It's our recognition that we are now in the presence of Jesus Christ, who is truly and really present in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And we proclaim this faith through bodily gestures. We kneel at the Eucharistic prayer and during the consecration. We bow before we receive him in communion. We genuflect in front of the tabernacle. We say amen to him when we receive him into our own bodies. And by the way, when you say amen, say it with conviction and with excitement. You know, so often people come to Christ and they look like zombies who have no clue what it is they're receiving. But this is God we're receiving. And we're receiving him into our very own bodies. So let's say amen with some gusto and some zeal. And when we do this, we, like the Magi, use our bodies to express our faith that there's something extraordinary happening here. And after we give homage to God, we, like the Magi, are called to place our gifts at the service of the Lord. And here I'm not solely meaning that we give our time, talent, and treasure to our local parish or to the local church. Rather, I'm suggesting something deeper. I'm suggesting that, like the Magi, we need to lay our gifts down at the feet of the Lord. This means that whatever gifts we have are for the glory of God. So for many of us, our families are a great gift. I'm suggesting that what we need to do is to place our families at the feet of the Lord. Let's not worry about our family honor or status, but rather ask, how can our family play a role in God's plan of salvation for all the nations? How can our family glorify God? Some of us have been gifted intellectually. I'm suggesting that our intellectual endeavors should be placed at the feet of the Lord so that our intellectual work will glorify God and not just us. Some of us are gifted as teachers. I'm suggesting that our teaching should reflect our faith and give glory to God. And of course, I could go on and on with example after example of gifts and how they can be used to glorify God. My point, though, is that the transforming power of today's gospel calls those of us who recognize that Jesus is more than an ordinary king to embark on that difficult journey called Christianity. We're called to prostrate ourselves and to give him homage in everything we do. We're to place our gifts at his disposal so that they may be instruments for God's plan to bring all nations to Christ. This is the model that's given to us by the Magi, and this is our mission as a church. to help gather all the nations around the 12 tribes of Israel with Christ at the very center. So let us follow the example of the Magi. Let us follow the one true light and place our gifts before him so that he may be known to all the nations. God bless.